Hi, everybody. Cheryl Akison here. Welcome to a special edition of the Cheryl Akison podcast, where Nick Giordano of the PAS Report podcast and I talk about government abuses on a free press.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is a special edition of the Cheryl Akison podcast I thought you might be interested in. Nicholas Giordano of the PAS Report podcast kindly agreed to let me republish his own podcast where we discuss government abuses against a free press and other burning issues I think you're going to want to hear about. So here it is.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the PAS Report podcast. This is your host, Nick Giordano. Glad you could be with me. Make sure to go to PASReport.com, sign up for the newsletter, and subscribe and follow the podcast so you never miss an episode. I have a fantastic guest coming up, and you're not going to want to miss this interview because Cheryl Akison is going to be here. We're going to talk about so many things. She is a profound author, numerous bestsellers out there, Slanted, The Smear, Stonewalled. And now she has a new book coming out that everyone needs to pre-order. It's Follow the Science, How Big Pharma Misleads, Obscures, and Prevails. It could be pre-ordered now. I'll have links up at the PAS Report website. Cheryl, thanks for joining me. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm actually glad that you can make time to come on this podcast because just the other day, you were before Congress testifying about certain things that should be concerning to every single American citizen. So why were you at Congress?
Well, they asked me to testify about the Press Act, which is something that's been passed by the House, and I guess it's been passed before, bipartisan support. The Senate won't take it up. Maybe they will by the time people hear this, but sounds like it's iffy. Not sure why. But it, number one, would allow journalists to protect their sources. The courts have eroded in recent years, our ability to protect our sources. Catherine Herridge, formerly of Fox News, has been ordered to reveal a source. She's being fined $800 a day. I think this has been going on for 2 years for not revealing her sources. This is important. I mean, people intuitively understand without sources on the inside of organizations, whether it's government or corporations, without the ability to protect their identities, they can't talk about what they see, the illegalities and wrongdoing and crimes and so on many, many times. And sometimes they can be convinced to go on camera, but the conversation's a non-starter if you have to tell them, as we now do, if push comes to shove and we're ordered by a court to give your name and the government's, you know, trying to get it, for example, then we have to do it. So that was important. Number two, the Press Act would make it where telecommunications firms would require a warrant to turn over materials on somebody to the government intelligence agencies. Not a bad idea, but I pointed out in the hearing, the bad actors in government who are breaking the laws will break that law too. They don't have to ask for information with a warrant. They are literally directly plugged into the telecommunications firms as they've been for decades under a law that was passed many years ago. So I guess that wouldn't hurt, but there are much more global things that would need to be done to change what's happening in this country.
Well, and that's a great point. I mean, we've seen the federal courts on the last, just the last several years alone that I can recall, lambast the FBI for illegally accessing the NSA's repository on Americans without a warrant, and nothing ever happens. I mean, that's what we see. But your case is actually really, it's unusual. It's also terrifying. And it's been going on for over a decade now. So can you explain to the audience updates on your case? You've been on before to talk about it, but it's really disturbing. So just give the audience a little bit of information about what happened and where the case stands now.
Well, in CherylAkison.com, if you click investigations, Akison versus DOJ, the documents and summaries are there because it's such a tortured tale. But many years ago when reporting for CBS, intelligence officials notified me I was probably being monitored. I had connections like most Americans don't have, because it's happening to other people too. I had connections to get this examined forensically by experts who understand government software. They found it. A series of many forensics exams since then, some done by CBS, some done by me, or personally by experts that I had to hire, have confirmed many details. The length of time, this was done without a FISA warrant. They installed software in my computer and monitored me remotely. They monitored me through a BGAN satellite terminal. They accessed the CBS systems. They looked at my Fast and Furious work files. They installed classified documents in my operating system. They monitored my keystrokes. They activated Skype to listen in on conversations. We found the government IP addresses that were used to access illegally my computer. So we have all of this, but you can't get into court, because the court requires certain things. Laws, first of all, protect the government officials that you want to sue. They have immunity. So that's one hurdle. There are just all kinds of hurdles set up in the system that Congress could change, because the courts are following the laws and court cases as previously applied. But there's immunity granted to officials so that they wouldn't legitimately end up in court for stupid reasons all the time when they're trying to run, you know, their agencies. But those laws have been twisted into protecting wrongdoers from being held accountable for crimes or ethics violations that they commit, such as in my case, and nothing stops that. And then the DOJ spends taxpayer money defending the guilty agents, making sure this case never gets to court. They have an endless supply of money and time to delay and obfuscate. So it goes on and on. In a series of cases, I've gotten a lot of good information. I have an agent who confessed, and I won a clerk's default against him, which is a first victory in a government spy case of a journalist that I know of. But then he supposedly died before we could go to damages trial. And he was only valuable because, you know, yeah, that's a great victory, but we needed to get to the higher ups, because the court requires to get to trial that we name all the names of the people involved. And we don't have that without discovery. But to get discovery, they require us to have the names. It's this vicious cycle. So they make it almost impossible. And I have a case still going. I did get the clerk's default. That should go to a damages trial. The only other name I had was an ex-Secret Service agent who served time in prison not long ago for separate corruption while he was assigned to the U.S. Baltimore Attorney's Office during this time period. And if you can believe this, he gave a deposition. We did get that deposition where he said he wasn't involved, this ex-con who served time in prison, who was a Secret Service agent. And the judge came down afterwards and said, well, that case against him is dismissed because in his deposition, he said he wasn't involved. And she took that as a factual truth. And then she misrepresented other facts that had been presented by DOJ that were easily disproven and documents that we had presented, but she just took the DOJ facts that were wrong and said, this is how it is. And there's really just nothing an ordinary citizen can do.
Well, I think that they picked the wrong person to fight with, because they obfuscate in order and delay to get people to just give up, right? I mean, they still haven't turned over information to Congress about the Boston Marathon bomber. So they just hope people give up and go on to the next shiny object. But you're seeing this thing through, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I can change the world. I can't. But I would say even the 10 years that I've pursued this as best I can, with the help of some First Amendment whistleblower and Fourth Amendment advocates, no press groups ever contacted me to assist, but some attorneys, I was speaking at a continuing legal education class on the Fourth Amendment. And when these attorneys asked about the case and who was helping and found out no press groups had stepped in or ever contacted me, they formed a group to help. Only way I've been able to go for 10 years. And I would say my victory is in the fact that I know some people responsible lost some sleep over this. I mean, it's less easy for them to continue to commit what I think were crimes, knowing that this was sort of over their head, that they may be questioned about it, or people who know them may be questioned about it. So while I can't change the world, I feel like I at least refuse to let this go without fighting for some accountability when it became clear the Department of Justice would not hold its own accountable.
Well, I'm definitely glad to hear that. And your case is in the spotlight. You have James Rosen and what happened to him under the Obama administration. We now have Katherine Herridge. But how much more widespread do you believe this is with our government intruding on the press and the press that won't speak up or push back against it, because a lot of them have been corrupted? They're political operatives. I don't call them journalists anymore, because most of them just push political messaging.
Well, and there's fear. I think they're doing this to many political figures, American citizens, and journalists. I was at an investigative reporters and editors conference shortly after CBS News announced the intrusions into our computer, our computers, mine, and the whole CBS system. And I was told by an ABC executive, top executive, and an NBC top executive, and a CBS top, I'm sorry, CNN top executive, they all thought they were being spied on too. But they operate largely sort of out of fear. They don't really have a way to prove it. I think they're right. I think all the top news organizations are monitored. There's nobody to stop them from doing so.
Well, let's be honest. The CIA got caught spying on sitting members of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Yeah. So if they could spy on senators, they could certainly spy on the press.
Well, in an inside story, I spoke to a staffer on a committee, a separate committee on the Senate side many years ago, who said that they had been called in by CIA and told that their emails and all of their personal stuff had been looked at and professional stuff. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, they were looking for someone who leaked some information to a reporter. This is what I think a big deal they're after, anybody who's telling on them. And he was shocked because this is before all these other revelations we know about today. And I was shocked. And I said, well, didn't anybody in that staff meeting say, what the hell? And he said, no, nobody said anything. And I said, why? And he said, I think we were afraid that if we spoke up, we would look like the guilty one. So they prey on this fear of they have all this power to look into your stuff. And I'll tell you, I know they saw all my stuff. And it's not that I leave that I'm a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't have any scandals or an ex-husband or certain things that may be going on. So a lot of people say I don't have any scandals in my background and you know I'm an open book. They can look at my stuff, but you're placing a lot of trust in people that are committing a wrongdoing in the first place for some reason you may not know about. If you're saying to yourself, doesn't matter, they can come in and look at me too.
And isn't it true that by doing that, let's be honest, you could be completely innocent and have no scandals in your background, but they could destroy you. They could destroy your reputation. They could bankrupt you because if they do approach you and you have to go get lawyers, it's not like lawyers are cheap. So they have a number of tools to punish people that push back against them.
Listen, there are numerous cases you can find in the record. And I've been told by people who work on the inside in the government that certain government agents have accused people of things like child porn and ultimately dropped that charge or dropped that part of the case. But that person in the meantime lost any possibility they had to get support from their friends, lost friends and family, because everybody's always going to have this cloud over your head, even with that charges dropped, that maybe there was really something there. These are the nefarious things that can happen to somebody when you're talking about dishonest players in the government.
And when you have to worry that those with the power of oversight, members of Congress, they were spied on, they feigned their outrage for a few days, but nobody was ever held accountable. And then you had Chuck Schumer actually warning former President Trump when President Trump was inaugurated that he was being really stupid, that the agencies have six ways from Sunday to get back at you. So when the people in power that have oversight over these agencies are afraid, well, what needs to be done? I mean, how did we get to this position?
Well, this has been decades coming, and I don't think there's a fix that we can look to even in a period of a couple of years. This is something the ship needed to be turned. The beginnings need to happen decades ago. I hate to say that, but every time I think what is a fix, there's just nothing that they can't outdo or end run, because they've developed these corrupt players so much power inside government and so much control. I said in the hearing when I appeared before Congress that the intelligence community believes it rules the intelligence committees in Congress. Now, these intelligence committees in Congress are supposed to oversee the intelligence communities, but it's my understanding from people with firsthand knowledge, the intelligence community basically through intermediaries pick who gets to or not get to sit on their own committees. So they're going to have friendly people on there, or you could even say people who would be afraid to do something the intelligence committees didn't want them to do. So they're always on this community. The intelligence committees in the House and Senate always seem to be on the side of protecting these agencies and officials that they're supposed to be watching out on our behalf for. I don't think that's the way it works anymore. And they get special information, which they get to covet and use and distribute at will. Although obviously there's, if it's secret information, they're not supposed to hand it out. But if you don't think these power brokers in Congress on these top committees use this information for political purposes and are controlled by these outside forces, I think you don't know what's really going on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, and it's a big problem. And let's be honest here, you know, when the FBI and CIA and NSA, when they all claim that they care about leaks, they don't. They care about controlling leaks. They want the information that they leak out to get out there, but it's the information that's against them that they want to stop, correct?
Listen, the FBI, the general counsel, James Baker, some years ago during all of these horrible cases, including mine, I was told by insiders was responsible for a lot of mischief. And that he was also leaking information, particularly about Donald Trump. That's alleged. And on the inside, these FBI agents thought he was going to be prosecuted. They were pretty sure there was a time period that they thought James Baker was going to face charges. And then something happened and he slipped away quietly into, you know, private industry and never been heard from since.
Went to go work for Twitter to send to other people.
Yep, that's right.
It's crazy. What do you think about the censorship industrial complex? I mean, you have CISA Director Jen Easterly talking about cognitive functions as critical infrastructure protection. You have higher education building out censorship apparatus for the government to use against the people. Your book, Follow the Science. I mean, we see that if you take on Big Pharma, you get censored. If you question where the coronavirus originated from, you were censored. If you stated how stupid some of the policies were, like lockdowns and closing schools down for 2 years, you were censored. Are you amazed at how big the censorship industrial complex has grown?
I am. And I think one thing that could have checked it a little bit is that if the media had done their normal job of oversight in terms of a fair media would look at these things and uncover these things and report on them. Instead, the media was convinced, because these are the same players that have embedded in media and politics and the censorship complex. So the media and news journalists actually took part in cheering on and putting labels on things and making sure certain views weren't heard and taking positions to say this is true and this is false, when A, they either couldn't possibly know something was false, or B, when something absolutely wasn't false, but they would only present certain sides of a viewpoint. I mean, it's just crazy. I would not have predicted, and I think this really exploded after 2015 when Donald Trump came on the scene, because he was uniquely harmful to the complex, the establishment complex and power and money. I would never imagine it could have grown so fast and with such support from the news media watchdogs.
And does it concern you also how ordinary people just blindly did everything they were told? I mean, they didn't push back. They didn't raise questions. I mean, I was actually shocked, I have to admit. I go into my classroom now and there are things that I would have said prior to COVID. Oh, that would never happen in the United States. The government would never lock us in our homes. They would never shut down schools for 2 years and declare what businesses are essential and non-essential. And then I would say that the American people would never tolerate something like that. But they actually did. They complied. They didn't speak up. Was that shocking to you?
Shocking. Otherwise intelligent and seemingly fairly well-informed people. And I try to understand, even though I know I have a deeper understanding of some facts because of the work that I do, or maybe I looked into a particular topic in depth, I try to take myself back to before I knew anything about this stuff. And that wasn't, you know, all that long ago in terms of history. And I try to say, would I have felt that way if I hadn't researched and had sources on the inside? I mean, there was a time, you know, when I had never covered medical stuff before CBS assigned me to do so, I didn't understand about vaccination and how, what it can cause and what the published studies that people claim didn't exist actually said. I was a believer that never questioned stuff. So if you'd have told me in the 1995 time period, some of these things, I might have not understood biologically how certain side effects and things could happen. I might not have had the experience of corruption inside this industry to understand how people are willing to sacrifice something so important as public health to get across their goals and accomplish their financial goals. So I don't know, all I can do is try to think to myself, are these people just so removed from information I happen to know and some of us happen to know because we've done a deep dive? It's hard to explain.
And when it comes to your new book, Follow the Science, which is available for pre-order, what do you want people to take away as they're reading this book?
That virtually every piece of information you get from what we would call establishment medicine is being put out there by a money interest. There are truths to be found in medicine, such as how to make yourself healthier in a way that doesn't make somebody else rich, but they're harder to find. It's more difficult to get that information published. Your doctor's probably not going to see it or rely on it. And the big industry complex that doesn't want people to have that information will work very hard to hide it, to controversialize and smear the authors, to get them discredited and their license pulled. So you have to sort of think upside down. It's the same lesson that I've kind of learned with news. When everybody's telling you one thing, your automatic instinct ought to be at least to consider the opposite. In medicine, when you're getting this monolithic advice about stuff, and yet we're not getting healthier as a society, we're spending more money, we're getting sicker with chronic diseases, we're dying sooner, your instinct should be, there's something else out there that I need to find. There's more information I need to access. The book has some tips on how to do that, how to find sourcing that you might be able to at least consider, if not rely on, but over time, maybe understand, gosh, this guy, this source, this publication has been right on these four things. So I'm going to turn to that next time versus this person or this publication has been wrong these four or five times about something important. I'm going to probably give that less weight in the future. It's just this critical thinking exercise.
And that's a great point. And in your research, did you come across of how the pharmaceutical companies and the whole medical industry would rather just maintain, right? It's not really about healing and getting healthier. I mean, if we look at cholesterol and blood pressure, there are certain things you could do without taking any drugs, just eat healthier, exercise better. And so it's more about maintaining. And then you have the regular doctors and everything that just go by whatever guidelines are put out. They don't question it. They don't push back against it. Oh, this is what the CDC says, so we're going to go with it. This is what the NIH says, so we're going to go with it.
And the guidelines are developed by doctors who are connected to the pharmaceutical interests who profit. So it's not as though I think the pharmaceutical interests sit back and say, how can we make people sicker to get medicine? It's just that the things that that would make the money, and they have a fiduciary duty, it could be argued, to make money for their companies, not to get people well. Their duty is not, there's nothing in writing that says to them, there's no law that says their goal has to be to get people well. Their goal has to be to make money with medicine and to try to prove that the medicine works and is safe and effective. And that even if it's not, you could argue they have a fiduciary duty to still try to promote that medicine as best they can. So unless there's some sort of special status given to these companies where they have a bigger responsibility codified to make people well and to not distribute things, you know, that could be harmful, then their goal is to skirt every way they can to get this information out. And then they influence the government bodies and they staff the advisors, they buy up the doctors so that the doctors will advise appropriately, the doctors will prescribe their medicine. So as a result, as we're getting sicker and relying more on their medicine and they're making more money and they're tied in with the insurance companies so that their stuff is prescribed, the natural alternatives maybe aren't, or the generic drugs aren't going to be covered by government because the whole complex is fixed. What will be covered? What will be paid for? What you can and can't use? They're controlling all of it. And it is making us sicker. It's just any neutral examination of what's happened in this country, the more money we've spent, the more medicine we've taken, the sicker we've gotten. There has been improvement certainly in a macro sense. Maybe you will have improvement. I'm not saying all medicine is bad by any stretch of the imagination. Some of us done great good. We need medicine. But this whole sense of being on medicine the rest of your life for these chronic disorders that can actually, according to peer-reviewed published studies, I believe, and scientists who are now on this level of thinking, these disorders can be cured not that tough of a manner with eating right and exercise or doing other things or making our food unadulterated, instead of medicating people with expensive medicine and injections the rest of their lives. There's nobody examining that trail. There's nobody really promoting that inside our system because that's not making people money. In fact, it would lose them a lot of money.
Well, I mean, thank goodness for people like you that are exposing it, that are opening people's eyes. And thank goodness for you that you're pushing back against the government and the big industrial, big pharma complex that it does exist out there. Cheryl, I want to thank you for coming on. Everyone needs to check out Follow the Science, pre-order it now. And I'd love to have you back when the book is released to discuss it in even more detail. So, because we don't want to give everything away right now. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Today, our information landscape is marred by propaganda and corruption, much of it influenced by the pharmaceutical government media complex. And there's evidence it's impacting our health in a major way. Since you're listening to this podcast, I know you're an independent thinker, and you're going to love hearing what I've learned about how it works, who's behind it, and what you can do. In my new book, Follow the Science, How Big Pharma Misleads, Obscures, and Prevails. You can order from the bookstore of your choice or at HarperCollins or Amazon. Look for Follow the Science by Cheryl Akison. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast and that if you did, you'll leave us a great review, subscribe, and share it with your friends. Check out my other podcast, Full Measure After Hours. And now you can support independent journalism causes by visiting CherylAkison.com and clicking on the store tab. There are some thought-provoking and fun products designed exclusively for independent and free thinkers like you, such as products with the slogan, I need to find some new conspiracy theories. All my old ones came true. Proceeds benefit independent reporting causes. Do your own research, make up your own mind, think for yourself.
Introducing Whipped Seafoam Body Butter by Sirenae Cosmetics. Hi, I'm Star, owner of the Lemonade Mermaid. Enriched with the nourishing powers of cocoa butter, mango butter, and shea butter, our body butter whisks you away to a world of deep hydration. Experience the essence of the sea with every application, as this whipped delight leaves your skin refreshed, replenished, and ready to conquer the day. Visit thelemonademermaid.com and make your skin sing with the magic of the sea.